Do not repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about what God expects of us when we've been wronged.
Forgiveness is not pretending like it didn't happen. Forgiveness is the decision to release a debt in spite of how you feel.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Of all the people we could give to, you'd think our enemies would be at the bottom of the list. But today, Dr. Evans talks about the gift we can give to our enemies that turns out to be a gift we give to ourselves. Let's join him.
Romans chapter 12 starts off by the big gift to God. God says, when the offering plate passes, you jump in it. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. God wants all of you. Then we went from that to giving to yourself. Don't think too high. Don't think too low. Think soberly. Don't think like a drunk person. Have a proper self-assessment based on God, and you will manifest a proper self-assessment through your service to others because you're members of a body. He then talks about giving to other believers. That when we are connected properly to God and connected properly to one another, God is able to flow to you and through you because you're not a cul-de-sac Christian, you're a conduit Christian. And so you give to God, give to yourself, and then flow out to others. But he comes to this final message in Romans chapter 12. And he's going to talk about something that is not going to be comfortable. Because now he's going to talk to us about giving to our enemies. Giving to our friends, that's pretty easy. Giving to folk you don't like, Houston, that's a problem. Now, the reason why this comes last in the chapter is because if you haven't first given to God, you ain't gonna do nothing for nobody who you don't like. But yet he concludes this chapter with an extensive section that when you are properly related to him, flowing out properly related to others, you can even give to people who you are at odds with. It is in verse 14 that Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, speaks these uncomfortable words. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is God's word, and he says, having given yourself to God, given yourself properly to yourself, given yourself to other believers, he now speaks about folk who are trying to take you out, persecuting you, up to no good on toward you. They are working against you. He says, I want you to bless those who persecute you, bless I say, and do not curse. Now, we know a lot of curse words. We've used a few of them. We know what it is to feel what goes around comes around. And you're going to get yours. But God, coming from left field, says, even though they're the ones who are wrong, persecuting you, he says, I want you to bless them and not curse them, not condemn them, not call down judgment upon them. Now, that ain't natural. That'll make you want to get up and leave church in the middle of the sermon, because that ain't real. Somebody has wounded your life. Maybe they don't even care. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe they pretend it didn't even happen, but you are bearing the scars of that reality, and yet God is going to come, and he's going to come with some stuff talking about bless them. The word bless here is the Greek word for eulogy, and it means to speak kindly concerning. It is praise rather than condemnation. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus would say that, because it was Jesus who on the cross said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." It was Stephen in Acts 7 who was being stoned to death who said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is not pretending like it didn't happen. Forgiveness is not acting like it wasn't real and that it doesn't hurt. That's called lying. If it happened, it happened, and if it hurt, it hurt. But forgiveness is a decision of the will to no longer charge the bill. Forgiveness is the decision, watch this, to release a debt in spite of how you feel. Forgiveness does not start with a feeling. People often ask, "How do I know if I've really forgiven?" Simple. You're not continually charging the account. In other words, you're not relating to them based on what they did. Now, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. You can forgive people, but it may take a while to reconcile with them. That's different, and we'll explain that difference a little later. But right now, it is the decision of the will to release the debt incurred by the other person. Why? Because until you release the debt, you're still carrying the charge. He says to the one persecuting you, the one who has harmed you, the one who is coming against you in an unfair way. And perhaps there are people under the sound of my voice, and you have been the perpetrator. You have created the bill. You did the damage. You were the one who created the problem. He says, outside of what is normal for human beings to feel and think, I want you to do the exact opposite to how you feel. Because you're being persecuted. You're being, you know, somebody is coming against you, and I want you to bless them. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? He's not left you guessing. He says in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He's telling you in verse 15 how to do verse 14. Most people quote verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. They quote that about people they like. Because I don't mind rejoicing with your rejoicing if I like you. And I don't mind crying with your tears if I like you. But if you've been trying to do me in, if you've been trying to mess over me, if you've been trying to hurt me, then I'm gonna get mad if you're happy. And if you're crying, I'm gonna find another reason to get more tears. Because I wanna see you weep. I wanna see weeping become wailing. And yet he says to the one who has persecuted you, hadn't done right by you, I want you to be real practical. If something happens in their life that makes them happy, I want you to join them in their joy. And if something happens in their life that makes them sad, I want you to join them in their sorrow. Now, you can't do this if you haven't done verse 1 and 2. Because if you haven't given yourself to God, ain't no way you're going to give yourself to the enemy. So he comes at the end and he says, this is a very practical thing. When the person who has wounded you has had something in their life that's positive and you know about it, I want you to affirm that. If they've had something in their life that's negative, I want you to affirm that by joining them in their sorrow. This is hard. That's why it's so quiet in here right now. Because this ain't normal. This is not how people roll. People want to see, you cause me pain, I'm going to cause you pain. I ain't going to let you get away with that. It's hard to send a note of congratulations to somebody who hadn't even told you I'm sorry. It's hard to make a phone call and say, I just heard you got that promotion. Praise God. To somebody who just stole your job. It's hard to call somebody who's lost a loved one and say, I just heard your loved one died, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry, when they've killed something in your life. This is not El Natural. This is not normal. And yet, he is speaking in this context about your enemies, about those who have harmed you in some form or fashion. And he says, bless, speak kindly of, not curse, condemning of. Now, again, he's not saying ignore the reality. He's not saying lie and pretend it didn't happen. He's talking about how you are treating them in spite of how they have treated you. In fact, he goes deeper, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. So this is deep, uncomfortable, and if the truth be told, unfair. Because in this scenario, I've been the one messed over, not the one doing the messing. What he doesn't want you to do is seek personal retaliation. That's what he's discussing. Personal retaliation. What he's not saying is don't use legal means to deal with the problem. You know, if somebody stole from you, chapter 13 says that the government exists to deal with wrong. So he's not dealing with the things you got to deal with legally to address a problem. He's talking about getting even personally. He says, don't seek personal retaliation. He goes on to say, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. One of the reasons God may not have dealt with your enemy yet is you might be in the way. Don't seek your own revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God. Translation, God can get them better than you can. But if you seek your own revenge, you've canceled out room for the wrath of God. Because if you're going to take care of it, why should he? Because God didn't miss what they did. He didn't miss how they did it. And he didn't miss how it affects you. He has not missed that. But you must not get in the way of God by your personal retaliation.
Dr. Evans will come back with the perfect illustration of this idea in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about a great pair of resources we put together as a way to follow up on what we're learning. It starts with all 6 full-length lessons in our current series, Return on Investment. It also includes the companion study guide that makes it perfect for use with your small group or personal devotions. Best of all, we're offering this Return on Investment study package as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to keep this listener-supported broadcast coming your way. But this offer is only available for a couple more days, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, after part 2 of today's lesson and this.
Check. Check.
Oh, our sample ballots came?
Yeah, I'm marking mine now. Check and check.
Wow, you're tearing right through that.
Well, they make it easy. They list the political party right there under the name.
Voting the straight party ticket, following some family tradition, doing what your friends do. All common ways to vote, but not necessarily godly ways. The Lord has an agenda for his kingdom, and Dr. Tony Evans says we need to back it with our ballots.
That's the point of the newest course in the popular Tony Evans Training Center, How Christians Should Vote.
The body of Christ has been divided illegitimately by allowing the politics of men to determine our function under God.
The How Christians Should Vote course teaches vital principles about God's agenda on earth so you can cut through all the campaign hype and focus on the people and propositions that best reflect kingdom values. There's also lots of custom content from Tony and a forum where you can get your specific questions answered. Go to TonyEvans.org and follow the link to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device.
In football, in basketball, there are officials. Those are the legal representatives of the league to orderly oversee the play on the field or court. If a player fouls another player, and the player who's fouled turns around and hits the one who fouled him, he will be judged too. Well, wait a minute. He hit me first. He fouled me first. Why are you going to get mad at me? Because the official is going to say, that's why I'm here. If he messed over you, I'm here to take care of him. You are not to take matters into your own hand, so you get penalized too, or you get put out with him, even though he started it. Because there is an official on the court who has been assigned to assess the penalty. But if you take matters into your own hands, because he hit you first, pushed you first, and tripped you first, not only will he get judged, but you'll get judged for being out of order. Because there has been an authorized person to address that. When you take matters illegitimately into your own hands, you've taken the place of official God. And so you wind up in the same bucket as the person who messed over you. Because you've become evil like them, even though they started it. He says, do not repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Gentleman who was sick, he went to the doctor. Doctor checked him out. He had been bitten by a dog, only to discover he has rabies. He's been infected with rabies, a rabid dog. So he's been affected by rabies, and he picks out a pad and starts writing on the pad in the doctor's office. A doctor said, oh, no, we can heal you. You don't have to write out your will. We can heal you. Oh, the man said, I wasn't writing out the will. I was just writing out the names of everybody I want to bite. Because we want vengeance. We want to get back at the people who have hurt us. Vengeance is mine. I know how to pay. And I know how to pay back, and I know when to pay. Verse 20, he gets practical again. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Don't tell him, I hope you starve. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. The principle of burning coals was an Egyptian habit of putting hot coals on a pan on the head of somebody to burn out wrong thinking. And he says the coals you will put on his head is doing the opposite to what he would expect. The opposite to what she expects. He expects for you to do them in. He says instead of that, you find out he's hungry, cook him a meal. He's thirsty, give him a drink. That's gonna mess up his mind. That's putting hot coals on it. He won't know what to do with that kind of heat because that's not what he expects. That's not what she expects. She expects you to go the other way. She expects you to hissy fit. She expects you to be mad and not speak. He expects, that's what they expect given the problem. But you throw him a curveball. Why? He's asking you to change your approach because verse 21 says that you overcome evil with good. You don't overcome evil by being evil too. And that's uncomfortable when you're the innocent one. That's uncomfortable. But he who knew no sin became sin for us. Those of us who grew up in the civil rights era are well aware there were two dominant forces fighting for rights. There was Martin Luther King and there were the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers' position was we're going to fight fire with fire. We're going to fight back. We're going to put our arsenal in, only to discover that their arsenal only created a bigger arsenal over here. And here comes Martin Luther King Jr. preaching this thing called love, marching peacefully, breaking the back of a Jim Crow South. I don't remember any Huey Newton parades or for any of the other Black Panther leaders, but there are Martin Luther King parades all over because he was able to break the back of evil by being good to bad people. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela, incarcerated for almost 30 years, he comes out, and if you've seen the movie Invictus, he comes out and he's in a no-win position because the blacks want revolution, the whites want to maintain segregation, and he comes out with this, using a soccer field to bring people together, and says, we will not live in anger and in animosity. We will overcome this. And as a result of his approach, South Africa achieved in a few years what it hadn't achieved in its whole history. Because God knows what he will be involved with, and God knows what he won't be involved with. And like it or not, God forgives. Listen to me. Don't burn a bridge over which one day you will need to cross. Somebody may have done something to you, and that is terrible. That is wicked. That is evil. I hurt for what they did and its effect on you. But look closely at you. Have you done anything to somebody else that's hurt them? And will you need the mercy that the other person who hurt you need? Don't burn down a bridge you may need to cross over yourself. That's why when Jesus, we'll talk about it later, talked about forgiveness, he says, if you want your Heavenly Father to forgive you, then make sure you have given to others what you are going to need him to do for you.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final thought to wrap up today's message, Giving to Your Enemy. The complete full-length version is available, including plenty of material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. So check with us for details on getting a copy. Better yet, you can receive this lesson as a part of Tony's current series, Return on Investment. And as I mentioned earlier, if you contact us within the next couple of days, we're offering all 6 messages in this collection on CD and digital download, along with the personal or group study guide that goes with it, all as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution. Contact us at tonyevans.org for the details. That's tonyevans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. You can't grow what you don't sow. It's as simple as that. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about us planting grace seeds and the return God promises when we do. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's message with this closing thought.
Now, I know what I'm saying is not popular because it goes against our nature. But that's why he starts off with giving yourself to God, because that allows you to live based on a new nature, based on a new reality. I am not suggesting you skip it, you ignore it, you don't talk to the person about it, you don't seek restoration from it. I am not saying we're going to dismiss wrong. I am saying we are not to let it to control our lives and our decisions. That what that person did to you 5 years ago ought not be ruining your life today. But if you're still holding on to it and trying to be God, even though you have no power to change it, then you're blocking God from doing what he wants to do for you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.